in Tafnun Beis, Halacha Gimel, Halacha Gimel, Zlo Yaniach Kelim Harbe, Lusoch Kli, V'Yagilim Yachad. The Mechaber says you shouldn't put a lot of Kelim into one bigger container and cache them all together. And the Ramah, whoever sticks in, Im Noigim Zeb is after touching each other. And the reason is because the place where the Kelim touch each other is not going to get it's not going to get kashered properly, therefore you can't kasher. And halacha dalad is the same thing, which is imago b'tzavas. If you kasher using tongs, I mean you have a delicate, because you don't just dunk into the water, so you want to put it in carefully. So you hold on to it with tongs. You can't hold on with your fingers. So you hold on with tongs. You can't kasher with tongs. If you want to kasher with tongs, you gagel ha'kli. What you should do is you should rotate the kli. It means is once you put it into the water, so the place where the tongs are touching doesn't have contact with the water, so you have to rotate the cleave so that those spots get uncovered and now the other places get covered, the Amoy Cain. Because if not for that, if you won't rotate it, the Mokum HaTzavis L'Salik Dikul D'Maya, the water is not going to reach the place where the tongs will hold on. Okay, so these are both the same thing, which is that if things that are being covered and touched don't get kasher problem. Okay, and the very practical application of this thing is for a person cashing silverware. Okay, the person cashing silverware would love to just dump in 50 pieces of silverware in at once, but you can't because they'll all be touching each other. So you have to dunk them in one at a time. And we saw once beforehand that as you dump in kalim, it cools the water off. So this is a separate thing, not related to Arden, which is you're supposed to wait between the silverware for the water to come back to a boil. Okay, that's a separate thing. But from Arden comes the very practical part of it, which is most people don't throw in 10 pots at once, but they would put in silverware. So instead of dumping the whole thing in silverware, you should dunk them in, put them in one at a time. Okay? And in Mir Tashem, next week we're going to talk about it's a practical industrial application system, okay, which is not an everyday application, but a practical industrial application of this thing. But the consumer application is the silverware. That's which is a normal thing. Come to Pesach, the whole thing is silverware, the kasher. Okay. But let's try to understand what's going on here. These two halachas are from two different early achronim or rishonim. The first is from Mordechai. And the Mordechai says like this. The Mordechai says, this is not a Gemara, it's a Mordechai. He says, the din is, in Hilchos Tfilas Kalim, that you're allowed to put Kalim inside of each other and type of them like that. Okay? So he says, even though for Hilchos Tfilas Kalim that does work, even so for Hagol it doesn't work. That's all he says. He says, even though the Gemara in Chagiga says that it works for Tzilas Kelim, it doesn't work for Hagol's Kelim, and he doesn't really explain what the reason is. Okay, that's what I'm trying to understand is, what's the reason? If you tell me that the water gets in for Tzilas Kelim, so there's getting for Hagol's Kelim. And if it doesn't get in for Hagol's Kelim, then it shouldn't get in for Tzilas Kelim. Okay, so what's the difference between them? He doesn't really say very much. We'll see that really he does, but on the surface, he doesn't seem to say any explanation. Okay, and it happens to be also that the Gemara there in Chagiga has a machoikis whether you should be choshish that the kelim stay touching each other. When you're putting two kelim together, it should be choshish or not. And we're going with the assumption that you can do tefillah like that. That's what he's doing, which is really the din. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, that you really can type a kelim like that. He's assuming that. In fact, it's a sort of a machlokes whether you can or cannot do that. The Gemara in Chagiga. Okay, now it does. The Gemara in Chagiga says, it's a machlokes. It's hard to say whether But the Gemara talks about whether that din in the Mishnah, that Tovel and Kalim one on top of each other, is for Kachim and for Tyrus and for certain kinds of Kachim, and there's a machlok to say what Pshat in the Mishnah is, and according to one of the Pshatim, it would be Asur, and according to one, it would be Mutar. The Gemara says, Lema Ketano, it's totally in a machlok, and it seems to me that there's a machlok. Okay, I can't say that 100% because in the Trichuses, it might not be like that, but it seems to me that it's a machlok. Okay, and the din is that you're allowed to. Okay. So I'm saying, so that tells us, you could tell me that if those who hold you are not allowed to, because because the kelim touch each other, which is not pasha, but that's what it means, so then we wouldn't have a problem. That's why he wouldn't be able to do Hagol either. But his assumption, if he comes in, the Gemara says you're allowed to. Okay, the Gemara that says that you're allowed to means two days, one that says you're not allowed to. But he says, the Gemara says you're allowed to, so the question is, if you're allowed to tefillah, why not do it for Hagol? Okay, now, the Gemara over there in Chagiga says Tzrichusa. The Mishnah there has 11 cases of things that have special dinner for kachim and tyrus, and it says there's a machlokes had on the thing, the one that says that you can't toivel things together. It says you cannot do that. And one person says it's because they touch each other. So the Gemara is trying to make a shichus. So why is that not the same? It's a different din mishnah that says something about tying things together. A different case of view. So the Gemara says, because you would think when you take two kelim and you put them into the water, then what happens is the just because of the nature of water is that the top one is going to float off from the bottom one. So by putting two things together, the top one's going to float up. So it just has to float up a drop. It's going to float up, and it will get surrounded by the water. So ma'u the tema, that this case is, you're allowed to, you don't have to be choishes right, because it'll just float up. Kamash malon, that the kelim might be heavy, and if they're heavy, they won't float up, and then we have a chashash. Okay? So at least we a little understand it. If we're going to say min hadin that you are allowed to be tayful two kelim together, means like the habmin of that of the earlier gemara, which is you're allowed to tayful because it does float up. Okay, the gemara says ma'u the tema, if you hold it, you're not allowed to do it. So it would be as mild as the chiddush is mild as the that it'll float up. So if we're going to say halacha that you are allowed to do it, it's because we're going to say no. In fact, it does float up. Okay. So now we just to frame it. Yes, it floats up. So that's why you could type it. That's what we would guess. But now we're still without questions. Why not? Catch it.
Yes.
You're
over time. It's
going to
float up.
Okay. So right. So now. What we got so far, we can see the din of tongues. The second din, we're on the first din. The second din, no problem. Tongues, not floating up. You're holding it tight. It's not going to float up. Good. That's correct. That's the safer augur. The safer augur doesn't even bring tefillah kelim. He doesn't, the second din, halacha dalet, because he doesn't bring the safer augur. He doesn't bring tefillah kelim, because this has nothing to do with tefillah kelim. You wouldn't be allowed to tefillah kelim like this either. So he doesn't say, in tefillah you're allowed to, as far as all you can. Of course you can't do it, because it's tongues. But the shayla is the first din. The first din says, for tefillah you're allowed to do. What I'm describing here, you're allowed to do it for tefillah, but you can't do it for agolah. Well, what's the difference between them? That's what we're trying to say. And the second thing is, if you do a really heavy kli, like sort of the Gemara is being Ramazan, if you had a really heavy, you had a blender, or, you know what I mean, had a really heavy kli, then it would be obvious why you wouldn't be allowed to do that either. But again, you couldn't do that for tefillah either. So if you put a heavy kli into another kli, you couldn't do it for tefillah either. So that then we now understand, because they're touching and there's no water gets underneath it. But our shayla is, Halacha Gimel is talking about, the Mordechai said, Halacha Gimel is talking about a case where for tefillah it does work, but within Fagol it doesn't. And that's the question. What's the difference between it? I have to tell you, you could tell me, the Mechaber doesn't say exactly, I don't think it says exactly what the Mordechai says. It says, Lo yaniach kelim harbe, don't put a lot of kelim. So you could say that that's a case where there are so many kelim that they won't float up. Like imagine if you took a whole bowl of silverware, you know, 50 pieces of silverware, kelim harbe, it's just not going to happen. It's like heavy clean. You could say that's what the Mechaber means.
That couldn't do that for tefillah either.
And that for tefillah wouldn't work either. Okay? You could read it. If you want to just read the din, you could say that that's what the Mechaber means. But as soon as you open up the mechanism with the Mordechai, that's where this din comes from. He's talking, he says, it, even though it works for tefillah, I mean, he's talking about a case where, in fact, it does float up, even though it doesn't work for agolah. So what's the difference? So what's going on here? Okay, so I'm trying to focus on that there's one case that we don't understand. Okay, so the truth is, you probably may have guessed the following answer. Maybe it's an obvious one I'm about to say, but I didn't get it until I saw the Gemara who says a thing, and he brings a Gemara, which I would have never guessed that this Gemara has anything to do with this, but the Gemara is, Mamash explains, and once you hear it, you'll say, oh, I could have said that without this Gemara. Okay. The Gemara in Pesachim says that the Chameshes Mini Dagon, if you mix them with water, and you let them sit, they become Chametz. But if you put it into boiling hot water, it doesn't become chametz. Okay, and in fact, it will never become chametz in that way. Which we understand in our modern way of thinking is that the hot water kills the germs that cause fermentation, so it won't ferment anymore. But that's what the Gemara says. If you put it into boiling water, it doesn't become chametz. Okay, so the Gemara says, and that's a mishnah. Then the Gemara says that if you even though you're allowed to do this, we don't do this anymore. But even though you're allowed to do this, you're not allowed to do more than one grain of wheat at a time, because wheat kernels have like a slit going down the middle, like a crack going down the middle. So we're concerned that one wheat kernel will get stuck in the crack of another one, and therefore that spot won't get, so to speak, cooked in the water. So you're not allowed to do this. Okay. Now, you could imagine, if you never saw a piece of wheat, you could imagine that there's this huge gaping hole in the middle of the wheat kernel, and that the other one's going to get stuck perfectly into it that the water's not going to get to it, okay? But if the truth is, there's not such a big hole. You know what I mean? So you could imagine that it stays absolutely dry in there, you know what I mean? But you could imagine that, you know what I mean? But in truth, it's hard to believe that that's what goes on. And So really, the thing probably, and if you, we just saw in the Gemara in Chagiga that we talk about kalim floating up when they get into the water. You can only you could guess that the wheat kernels are going to float a certain amount of water. They might get a little stuck. There's a certain amount of getting stuck, but they're also pretty loose. Wheat kernels are not so heavy. So what's going on with the Gemara? So the word of the Gemara is Shalik Luhu Dikul Demayim, which Rashi says means, Rashi says is Resichas Hamayim. Okay, now Resichas Hamayim is not a literal translation of Dikul Demayim. Dikul Demayim means the flow of the water. Okay, so Rashi is not translating, he's explaining that when we say that the Dikul Demayim doesn't get into the thing, he means is that when you put in one kernel by itself, the water is all around it, and all the resicha samayim, all the power and the heat and everything of this water gets to all surfaces of this of the kernel. So it cooks it without letting it become chametz. But if the two things are, one is shielding the other one, this one is protecting this one, so then the part that's covered up might get wet, but it's not going to have the force of the water. There's something protecting it, so it'll get hot and it'll get wet, but it won't get boiling. And that's not good for chametz. That's the worst thing for chametz. When you heat things up and you make them wet, is what makes them become chametz. Things that are warm, that's why you use mayim shalom, things that are warm become chametz faster. So by protecting this thing and putting it into the boiling water, you're not allowing the main flow of the water, the dikul of the maya, to get to there, which Rashi is saying, and the male, you're not getting the resicha samayim. You're not getting the heat penetrating over there. It's protected, and therefore it will not have chalita. It won't be prevented from chametz. Instead, it will become chametz. Okay, that's what the Gemara means. So that Gemara is exactly what's going on in this din. For tefilas kelim, all you have to do is the kli has to be surrounded by water. Even the tiniest bit, even tafeach hamnas hatzich, even the tiniest bit is good enough to make it be tovel. Okay, so it gets wet. Who cares? As long as it gets wet, it gets wet. But when you put two kelim inside of each other, then one floats up, but the other one is going to shield it, just like the kernels of wheat shield each other. The one is going to shield the other one from the force of the heat, the strength of the heat coming into it, and it might not get kashered in that spot, which is shielded by the other kli. So it'll get wet. It's going to get wet, but it's not going to get hot. So for what we need for Hagol's kelim, we need it to get hot. Therefore, for Tzvil's kelim, it's fine, but for Hagol's kelim, it's not. Okay? So there's two other things just to say. One is like this. The Grav is on Halacha Gimel. Halacha Gimel, he says this, he says, see the Gemara over there that says this thing. Okay? And he ends off, the last words of the Grav is, V'zeh shakotav imago v'chu. Okay, which means is imago is the words of Halacha, the first words of Halacha Dalet. So he's telling. So the simple reading is, this is the simple reading is that the Gemara means to say is Halacha Gimel is because of this Gemara, and that's the reason for Halacha Dalet also. Like I don't need to tell you again Halacha Dalet. The reason is really Halachas are the same. So Mizeh Oshakos is the next thing also, because that's the simple reading of what he's trying to say. Okay, that's the simple reason. But if you think about it, I think that what he means to say is like this: Halacha Dalet. Okay, Halacha Dalet ends off with the word, and these words, the Machabes is straight from the Ogur, but Halacha Dalet ends off, you have to rotate the Kli, because if you don't rotate the Kli, then the place where the tongues are holding will solid be cool the Maya. Okay, so what he means to say is, well, I don't even know why he says it in Halacha Dalet, but in Halacha Dalet, nobody gets there at all. But what the Gemara is telling you is these words loisolik bikul demay, which is mamish the words of the Gemara and Pesachim talking about the grains, is the pshat in Halacha Gimel. You want to know why if there's two kelim touching each other you can't kasher it, is because like the Gemara says in Pesachim loisolik bikul demay. So Halacha, the end of Halacha Dalet is the pshat in Halacha Gimel. For the truth is really for Halacha Dalet we don't need loisolik bikul demay. It didn't even get wet. Forget about what's the cool demai. The thing didn't even get wet. It's been touched by the tongues. But if you want to know the reason for really for Halacha Gimel, is because Vizel Shakosav, Imago V'chul, if you look, go see the end of that din, what's the cool demai, that's the reason why that kashering doesn't work is like the Gemara says in Pesachim, what's the cool demai, which is the end of the words of Halacha Dalet that the Machaber said. Okay, so that's the Hezbro, what's going on.
Isn't there a din by Zeus Kelim that you make your hands wet and hold on to the Kelim, make your hands wet and the mikvah hold on to the
Kelim? Correct. That shows you how little water there has to be.
So if you use tongues, you can make the tongues wet and do the same thing.
Right. So you're telling me that in the case of tongues,
it wouldn't work. I mean, you need that.
Yes. So you could say the words like Zeus Dikul Demaya to explain certain cases of tongues that for Tefillah it would work. Right. But yes, you're right. You could say that. But I'm saying even without having to be so sophisticated, the reason for Halacha Gimel is because of what it says, which is which is in halacha down, the other doesn't say, even though for tefillah it works for hagolah. So you could say he doesn't mean cases like that. He could just say means it, because your mom is holding it on tight and it doesn't get wet at all. You don't have to say that. But for halacha gimel, those words are so different, which is mom, it's the same words coming out of the gemara psachim, it's trapped in this din over here. Okay, that's what he's trying to say. And it's probably the first time that I could tell you, even though I don't know if it's true. When I went by Arbusher, he said once, Arbusher, oh, really? He said once, when he was describing how someone should learn Be'ilim, because how the description is, that you have to learn it so well that you understand every Bechulu of the Gra. Okay, why did he say Bechulu? Okay, that was his description of how you understand something, Be'ilim. Okay, now I don't know if I ever did that, but in this case, the Gra says, V'zeo shakasa imag v'chulu. So I'm telling you what the v'chulu is. The imag is to say that's Tzad and Halachadal. And the v'chulu is the Masol Tikul Tamar. Okay, so now we finally came to, we understand the v'chulu of the Gra. Okay. So anyway, okay, so that's one thing. Now the second thing is, the Mechaber says, you shouldn't use tongues. Halachadal says don't use tongues. If you're stuck and you have to use tongues, okay, we're making up a case that's a delicate clean, you don't want to drop it in. Okay, for whatever reason, you have to use tongues. So what do? You rotate the kli. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah says here, and it's in the Bir Halacha before also, a very, surprising thing. At least to me it was surprising. He says, better than rotating the kli, what the better thing to do is, take your kli, put it into a basket that has holes in it, and then put the kli, dunk it in the basket. Instead of dunking, holding it with tongs and rotating it, put it into a basket that has a lot of holes in it. So it'll be a kli region, that's the point of that. And then dunk it in, holding the basket. Okay, so what is he talking about? What do you put into it? The reason for the holes is that water will get in. If not, the water will dunk in from the top, and it may not be a cremation. Uh-huh. That's like a side point. That's what the Bir Halacha is going for. It won't be a cremation because
it's submerged.
So if it's submerged, then it has to reboil. Whatever. I'm sorry, I'm distracting you. Okay. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should put it in with a cleaver with holes in it, and you put it in like that. So what is he talking about? These two dinim are that you're not supposed to touch the cleaver. So we just said don't put kalim inside of other kalim. What do you mean? Instead of rotating, which sounds like a great idea, rotate the cleaver means today. Oh, yeah, I'm holding it over here now. Hold.
Now he says this is better.
Yeah, he says it's better. V'toy v'yoser lahaga b'shivcha oy b'sal menukav. You should put it into something that has holes in it. What are you talking about? What the whole did here is that you should not put things in with holes. The whole point is to not put them on top of each other. So,
holes around in there or something.
Hello? That was halacha gimel. So,
circles around.
So that would have been, okay, so where something seems to be missing over here. The Mechaber seems to have a good answer. Rotate it so it touched it on one spot and it didn't touch it on another.
I'm not aware of it. Where's it bring it from?
It comes from Hokkaido. Okay, and it has. So what's going on over here? Okay. So to answer the question, I'm going to tell you a question Rabbi Craig asks. Okay, and we'll answer both of these questions here. Rabbi Craig asks, he really said halacha gimel. He says this, you're telling me the kelim can't touch each other. He says, we're going to see in a few halachas, and we've seen it before and also, that hagolah means the parts that have contact with the food, the water of the hagolah has to touch those sides. Water of Hagolah doesn't have to touch everything in the kli. Let's say the kli is an inch thick. The water of Hagolah doesn't have to touch the middle of that, the thickness of the kli. We assume that the bleed went in from, let's say, the inside. So the water that penetrates will go from the inside and can capture it also. But the water has to touch whatever water touched. So, for example, if you have a ladle, that the ladle gets liquid on both sides of it, you can't just capture it on the inside. You have to capture it on the inside and the outside. But what Halacha above is, if you have a pot, there's only water on the inside. So then, what you have to do is you have to fill up the hole inside, and the din of it is going to say that you have to build, make sure that it goes into the very top. Because the top, it's very hard to get water on top, so it tells you how to make sure you get water, make sure you get water on the top. But you don't have to get water on the outside. That's what his point. It doesn't say to get water on the outside, because no water goes onto the outside. Okay, except we had all the halacha about what happens if it spritzes. So you, okay, so, but assume, because so if it spritzes, then you have to be conscious that the water that was on the inside also came in from the outside. Okay, but in a normal case, only the water has to be only on the side that has that goal, and especially on those sides. Okay, you can't catch it from the wrong side. You have to only catch it from the right side. So, what Kreger says, what's the problem in halacha gimel? If you put a lot of kelim together, let's say I take a basket, and I put four cups into it. Okay, what's going to touch each other? The outsides of the cups are going to touch each other. He says, well, if the outsides of the cups touch each other, there won't be a catching on that part. He says, so? Who cares? If the outside of the kiln get kashered. If the outside of this touch the outside. Imagine these two things are cups. So the outside of this touches the outside of this. So those spots don't get kosher. Who cares? The trace is on the inside of the cup. And the inside of the cup is full of water. So what's the difference if the outsides touch each other? Those don't have to be kosher altogether. Now, it's easy to kosher the insides by dunking it into water. But I don't have to get the outsides wet. Who cares if they have? That's his kosher.
So this is a kosher by cups, right? I mean, like four spoons and forks.
So the answer to the kasha is, which is maybe what Jacob is trying to point out, is that the Mechaber's din is talking about cases, let's say, for silverware. Because these are bleeds on both sides. I don't even know if he means it as a kasha, or at least just to focus you. That's
well,
what
he means. The silverware can go on the inside of the spoon.
But let's say the inside of a spoon, right? It can touch the inside of a spoon. Or I mean, a spoon gets, when you stick the spoon into the noodles, the spoon's getting bleeds from both sides. Or he means the cases where you take kalim and let's say you put them in concentrically. I mean, not that you have four cups going in that are touching outside, but if I put a big pot with a little pot inside of it and another pot inside of it, so there, the problem is not that the higher cups outside doesn't get kashered, it's that the lower cups inside doesn't get kashered. Because if the outside touches, if these two things are touching each other, not that this one is the problem is the bottom one, it's being covered, part of it is being covered, it's not getting kashered. It's less clear the answer to this question, but it's focusing. Shaker is telling us that these zidim are talking about cases like that, where there's a part of the kli that touches the food that won't get kashered, as opposed to if you put four cups side by side, there wouldn't be a problem.
He
doesn't say, he leaves it off as a kasher. Okay? But L'chaira, the answer to his question is, his question tells us that the Mechaber is only talking about certain kinds of cases. Okay? So with that, we can understand. In Halacha Dalad, if you kash something with tongs, that means is that tongs cover the outside of the kli and the inside. The tongs have to grasp it from both sides. So when you use tongs, you're covering it from both sides. So the Mishnah says, so instead, take your individual kli and put it into a basket, and then lower the basket in. But when you lower it in a basket, the part that's going to be covered is the outside of the kli. There's nothing wrong with the outside of the kli gets covered. So these dinim about not covering over part of the kli, they don't mean you're not allowed to put into a basket, because if you put into a basket, the only thing that doesn't get touched is the outside. Who cares? The outside doesn't have to get touched. But then we're just where you put things inside of each other, or they're touching each other in ways like that. But if it's just an outside of a kli, big deal. So
but I know Mrs. Brewer is talking about the type of kli, like a pot, maybe talking about
so you assume, right, you're right. So now we'll have to say that he's only talking about a normal thing that you'd want to use tongs for, which is like a pot or a dish or something that's more.
Is it on the lock of tongs?
Yeah, on the dinner hall of tongs. No, because this is where the Mechaber says, instead of using tongs, you should rotate the kli. Because in the halacha dinner, he said, don't put a lot in, do them one at a time. Mm-hmm. But in halacha dalad, he said, you should rotate. He said, rotating is not such a good idea. I don't know why. Rotating is not such a good idea. Instead, do this. So instead, what he means is, instead, put one kli into a basket and then dunk it in. And what won't get touched will be the outside. Okay, so with that, we'll be able to understand what, I don't know why it's better, but at least why it works. I don't know why it's better than rotating the kli. But at least it'll explain to us why.
You look at the Talmud, the Chavyak seems they.
I don't remember what they said. I don't remember what they said. But the problem is on why this is better. Okay, but I'm saying that this thing we had about Rabbi Krieger, this kasher Rabbi Krieger, what pointed us to helped us understand what's going on here. Okay, and Mir Tashem will do next week a practical, for some people it's practical, industrial application of this, which it's really going to be more of a chance for us to talk about how that kli works and how to kasher it. But it has to do, of all din that it has to do with, what it has to do.